Welcome to The Experience of You, conversations with extraordinary people from all walks of life who have strong personal brands and make it their practice every day to provide an ultimate experience for others. Your personal brand. It's not what they say about you when you're in the room. It's what they say when you leave. What do you want people to say when you leave the room? Well, it comes down to the experience of you. Your personal brand is shaped by the perceptions that people have of you and the relationships or experiences with you. When you want to create an ultimate experience, it's a shift in how you approach the day, a mindset to make a positive impact for others. I'm Dave Thompson, and please join me each week to get energized and educated about how to create the ultimate experience from people who deliver it every day. Their advice, stories, how they choose to live their lives, and the difference that they make for others. I promise there is something in every conversation that will influence your self-discovery, personal growth, or professional success. Glad to have you with us on The Experience of You. Let's get on with the show. Carl, welcome. We're recording on Cinco de Mayo. Unfortunately, we can't celebrate, and I got to share with you a great joke I saw online. Somebody said, finally, Cinco de Mayo happens in my lifetime on Taco Tuesday, and I can't go out and enjoy it.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Today is a wonderful podcast that we are going to dive into. It's about personal brand and its value and effect on young adults and the lives that they live, both personally and professionally. So I'm really excited to talk with Carl about this and share some insights, because thanks to him, he helped me launch my personal branding course at Temple University, the first college course on personal branding. And it's been a revelation for the kids who have gone through it, Carl. So we'll dive into my experiences a little bit as well. So first, let me anchor this and say, given what we're facing now, the global crisis, please share your thoughts on why the concept of personal brand and then developing one is so important right now in this period in our world's history.
You bet, Dave. Well, yeah, obviously this is the kind of crisis that I guess it's fair to say almost everybody was unprepared for, and it's really sort of rocked our world, I guess, to say it one way. So as I've thought about that, this whole idea of the world of COVID and how does that intersect with the world of personal brand? And so there are a few things came to mind. Now, I'll state something now that I'm sure we will talk about once or twice during our conversation today. But at the core of personal brand is the idea of relationship and relationship building. And boy, has that changed in our current pandemic world. And that's everything from learning new skills in terms of building and sustaining relationships, and whether that is with people on a team, whether you're a salesperson or just one-on-one personal relationships. Add some insight to this. Coincidentally, I just heard from a friend of mine, and this guy, a longtime friend of mine, took a new job as a dean at the University of Washington out there in Seattle. And for worse, he arrived on campus to start his job 2 days before the lockdown. So I talk about luck. We were communicating back and forth, and he was telling me how difficult it is for him to establish relationships and ramp up in his new position. And this guy is a real successful academic administrator. He's not shy. He is really good with people. And there he is. Not only can he not get face to face with people, but people only know him basically by a job announcement. So that to me sort of punctuates this is a situation for how this pandemic really is affecting relationships. But of course, there's the second piece, which is living in this virtual world, you know, the Zoom world, so to speak, that we live in. You know, the world, Dave, that now people talk about this world as business on top, party on the bottom idea. And So, you know, if, frankly, this idea of living in a virtual world, of course, is not new. Many of our clients over the years who operate in global business environments have learned how to deal in the virtual world and build relationships and manage them. But really, frankly, for most others, and I would say the majority of people, this is a whole new idea. So in terms of personal brand in this pandemic, it's learning how to present your personal brand in the virtual world, learning how to build relationships. So there's one thing, is just having those skill building. The other thing I've noticed, frankly, is there's sort of across the board, people are sort of interacting or latching on to this virtual world differently. And one of the things that I think is causing a bit of a problem for some people in terms of the personal brand is because so many people are in a virtual world today while working. In fact, I would say almost everybody who's operating this virtual world is working from home. And so there's this confusion that people have when it's on video, that they are relaxed. So they come across in their apparel, in the way they look. Some men have decided that all of a sudden now's the time to build a scraggly beard. But my point is the laxness of being lax by working at home has sort of now become a normal part of the way they present themselves. And I think that presents a personal brand challenge. I mean, people wouldn't wear their sweatpants or grow a scraggly beard if they went to the office every day. So I think those are some of the issues in terms of how do we operate in this virtual world and the impact on relationships. Another thing that comes to mind is it is no exaggeration to say that this situation is overwhelming so many people. I mean, it's washed over them in a way that, frankly, it has changed them. In that context, it has changed them and therefore changes how they interact with others. And that has an impact on how other people perceive them. So in some ways, the situation has been so overwhelming, it's really changed them, their personal brand, the way that it's projected. And so getting back to, you know, not letting the situation dictate who you are, but for you to step up and decide who you are shows up in a situation like that. So some people are overwhelmed, and that's really had an impact. One of the things we like to talk about in terms of presenting your personal brand, and it's this, that it's an old axiom of personal brand, which is a person's true character will always show up during times of either stress or distress. And so to keep that in mind, and so I would say to folks, maybe take a moment or two and be a little introspective and say, during this very stressful time you're living in, or if you feel distressed, what does that say about you, and what can you learn about you? Because now is a good time when the real you is out and about. And the other thing I would say about personal brand and the pandemic is, this is a perfect time to remember and reinforce the principles of personal brand management. So now is the time to get back to the fundamentals and to stay focused, because the situation itself can get you off kilter a little bit. So number one, review your brand platform. Who are you? What do you stand for? What perceptions do you want to create? Remind yourself of the power of managing perceptions. And you're still now making perceptions, but in a different way. Here's something I would suggest to people is observe other people, particularly people you know, and see how they are acting and interacting. What kind of perceptions are they creating that may be different than what you are used to from them? And the point of that is learn from them, because if they're a little off degree or a little off center, may be a good chance that you might be as well. And then the final thing is, I don't know, this is an old self-help principle, but nonetheless, it's a good one. And it's called the mirror principle. And the mirror principle, simply stated, means that when it comes to interacting with other people, most often the kind of mannerisms that in other people that may bother you the most are the ones that are probably there inside you, and they bother you because inside, subconsciously, you know, you have to address them. So think about the mirror principle when you're in virtual meetings. If there's certain people doing things that are just obnoxious or somehow just grab your attention, not obnoxious, grab your attention, take a moment and go, gee whiz, why does that grab my attention? Maybe that's something I need to address myself.
Very smart. Why is the process now? So let's pivot. Let's pivot to our young adult student audience, young professionals.
Yeah.
Why is the process of developing a personal brand so critical and vital for them, whether they're trying to get a job, advance in a career, or become an entrepreneur?
Let me say it this way. This generation, not to be stereotypical about different generations, but in fact, we know this to be true. This current generation is now beginning their career, and it's a career that will consist of many jobs. And we've heard this data, whether it's they're going to have 12 jobs, 15 jobs, 20 jobs. They're going to have a lot of jobs for their own reasons. And the most important asset, well, one of the most important assets, when you plan to have a sort of portfolio career or a career with a lot of different jobs, is building a strong personal brand. Because that's an important equity, personal asset that you have. So number one, starting out for young people, you need to really get focused on building a strong personal brand. You didn't think about that 30 years ago. You didn't think about that 20 years ago. But you have to think about it now. So number one, you're in the business of building your personal brand. Learn to become really good at it right out of the chutes. Number two, there's no question that the job market is going to become more and more competitive. It already was competitive. It's going to become much more competitive. Our economy will just not have the same growth trajectory for quite some time. It's not clear how slow it's going to get for how long, but it will be slow and it will take a while. So building a strong personal brand is really important for you to compete, or not you, but for the folks, young folks, to compete. So you got to be prepared to be that much more competitive. Personal brands will help you do that. And then as a part of that, get really, really clear on how you differentiate yourself. Of course, that's a key skill when it comes to personal brand management. And because that's a good, important skill, that's why you should embrace personal brand management. So bottom line is, you're going to have a lot of different jobs. Personal brand management and personal brand equity is going to be important to your career. Start now. Be really good at it. It's going to be much more competitive than it's ever been. And you got to learn to differentiate yourself. And we can maybe talk about that later on today.
Absolutely. Carl, what are the principles, the cornerstones of a personal brand that young adults and young leaders and students should know right now in their life?
Dave, there are three things. As you know, the whole idea of the cornerstone of the personal brand could take us a couple hours, but let me sort of give you the three things that I want people to remember, particularly people who are young and whether they're just getting a job or whether they're an emerging leader. And that is the following three things: the power of distinctive, relevant, consistency, the importance of perception management, and the necessity of being your own brand. Now, let me give you a quick sort of the backstory on each of those. Distinctive, relevant, consistent. If there's only one thing you remember about building a strong personal brand, it's the power of distinctiveness, relevance, and consistency. So why are all three of those important? Number one, to be perceived to be distinctive is really important, because when someone believes and perceives a certain distinctiveness about you, about your character, then if it's distinctive, i.e. if it stands out, that's a signal to people that's something that you believe in, that you believe is important, and that in fact is a part of your character. So learn to be distinctive is really, really important, because it sends people a message that there's some authenticness about you. The second thing is relevance. So learning to make your distinctive qualities relevant to somebody else is important. So nobody really cares so much about your distinctiveness. They care about how your willingness to make your distinctive qualities or your character relevant to them. And when you make it relevant to them, you demonstrate empathy. And more importantly, you demonstrate how you are willing to apply your distinctive qualities to make a difference for them. So you can make it relevant to them, make a difference. And then the third piece is consistency. Consistency is the most important aspect of any building any brand, personal or otherwise. And why is that? Because consistency is the basis for trust. And trust is why personal brands matter. And so distinctive, relevant, and consistent. Three most important qualities. And when I coach people, particularly young people who are new at this idea of building a strong personal brand, it's somewhere, somehow, wherever you write things to remind yourself, I suggest them write capital D, comma, capital R, comma, capital C, and remind themselves every day of the importance of distinction, relevance, and consistent. The next piece I talked about was the power of perceptions. Brands, your personal brand is a direct result of how people perceive you. If you want to build a strong personal brand, you need to be in the business of learning how perceptions are created, learning how you can create perceptions that are a true reflection of your most important qualities. So the power of perception management is vitally important. It is a competence. It has a set of skills. It has a way to measure how good you are at that. So to build a strong personal brand, you have to be really good at learning how to manage perceptions. And the final thing I mentioned was be your brand. That is, decide what your brand stands for. Be your brand as often as you can. Building a strong personal brand isn't about changing who you are for different situations. It's about staying clear about who you are and learning to make yourself relevant. And also be confident of your brand and be more of who you are and not less. So those three things are vital. That's the short course on personal brand management, and particularly the three things that I would reinforce with young people.
Thanks, Carl. That was excellent. Is there a difference? Let's look at someone who's approaching the job market or looking to advance in their career. Is there a difference in how someone approaches their personal brand?
Yeah, I think there can be a significant difference. And so I break it down to two things: looking for a job and advancing in your career. So when it comes to looking for a job, first thing I recommend to people is make the effort to demonstrate that you have a personal brand, that there is something authentic about you, distinctive about you. So when you're looking for a job, get really clear what your personal brand stands for, and make sure that comes through, that you aren't just another person. And we'll talk about this later, I think, based upon the outline. And that is this: when you're looking for a job, don't do all the research that says, who should I be to get a job here? The idea should be, is this job a good fit for my brand? Not fake it so I can get a job. It's the idea of making sure that there's clear alignment between what your personal brand is and who the corporate brand is. Second piece is, we're looking for a job. I know it isn't always easy, but be authentic. Be clear who you are, because again, you're searching for a good match. And now, once you decide, you demonstrate who your personal brand is, make it a point to demonstrate how your personal brand is relevant for this job opportunity, right? So you want to establish that distinctiveness of who you are, what you believe in, and show how who you are can be relevant to creating value for the company. And then the other thing I would say is, in terms of looking for a job, get really clear who your personal brand is. Decide that we call them personal brand standards. These are your character elements to demonstrate how you go about things. Let's say that you are very tenacious, or you're very clear about things, or you're very objective, you're very analytical, whatever they are. Highlight and make note of the three most important characteristics of your brand, and then always bring around the discussion as often as possible to how one of those three brand standards apply in the situation and make you a good candidate. So get very focused in presenting your personal brand, and do it with conviction. Because frankly, your personal brand really will gain value once you have that job. And that gets me to this next piece about building a personal brand in terms of advancing your career. This isn't always easy for young people. Frankly, I'm not sure it's always easy for older people, but people as they age, but there are a lot of things going on in a young person's life. And so it's easy to get off your brand. So number one, I would say, establish your authentic brand and bring it to work every day, each day, every minute of the day, every hour of the day. Don't get off track bring it every day. I can just tell you, over the thousands of people I have interacted with over my career, it's the ones who I know advance the furthest, get really clear what their brand stands for, and they don't waver a bit. They only sharpen that blade and sharpen it, as they go through their career. Don't make the mistake. If you're a young person and you're establishing your career, don't make the mistake of trying to be who you think others think you should be. I know this seems like sophomoric advice, but it's really, when you're in a company, you want to establish yourself. There are cultural norms, and be careful not to sort of to fall in line. Don't just realize that what's important is that you apply yourself in the context of the cultural norms. Don't let the cultural norms recast who you are. Right? So your personal brand is something you own. It's going to be with you the rest of your life. Your job is to make sure you apply it so it creates value within cultural norms. I've seen way too many cases where young people look around, they go, okay, who's successful? How are they acting? And they just want to go mimic that. And that's the exact opposite. So when you advance your career, get this clear what your personal brand is all about and be it every day, bring it every day, apply yourself every day to make a difference. And obviously make sure that you know how to operate within the cultural norms of an organization, but don't change who you are because of that. It is frankly, I think, the biggest mistake. And it's a nuance that a lot of folks don't get. And they think because they're cultural norms, if I act like I'm supposed to, they go the way other people act, that I'll be successful. And you just won't. I mean, you'll only get certain way. So those are the things that I would suggest in terms of getting a job and advancing your career.
Many people think, you know, our life is online now, particularly during COVID. But many people think their personal brand is online. And now they have very limited face-to-face brand building opportunities, chances to keep and make relationships. So how do young people in our device-addicted generation, you know, overcome their shyness and insecurities and reliance on technology to build a brand?
Well, boy, this is a huge question, Dave. And there's no simple answer. I mean, I think, but let me go back to sort of the core. One of the things I said earlier is at the core of personal brand building is all about is relationship building. I mean, we apply ourselves to create value for others, and that's all about building relationships. There is no question, 100%. Relationship building has and will continue to change. And sure, the COVID fueled world we live in may have accelerated some of that. So there's no doubt that virtual interactions will continue to change how we manage relationships. And frankly, virtual interactions have been on the rise for quite some time. I think they're just going to be catapulted forward now with once we get out of this COVID world. And for a lot of reasons. But having said that, we are not going to live totally in a virtual world, and face-to-face relationship building will continue to be important. There's going to, for anybody who's young, you've got to learn to master both. And frankly, I've watched people who are older, who have not adapted to technology very well, who keep saying it's face-to-face is all that matters, and they're losing opportunities. Face-to-face is not all that matters, but virtual is not all that matters either. But we got to realize there's got to be that proper mix. And out of that means that we have to be good at both. We have to know when to, you know, sort of when to hold them, when to fold them, kind of. So one of the things when we think about virtual versus the face-to-face world is, frankly, for a lot of people, they prefer virtual because it's easier in their minds because they can control it, and in some ways requires less effort. But we have to learn how to build our strong a personal brand in both of those worlds. And I would say one of the things that we need to be careful of is make sure that we still know how to demonstrate our authenticity in no matter what kind of a venue that we're in. So there's a balance out there. And my concern about some young people who have a bit of an aversion to the virtual world, or really, frankly, have been able to do a lot of relationship building in the virtual world as they've been in college and high school, is that they've got to learn to stretch themselves more to the face-to-face. So they have to have the right balance for both. And there are different skill sets in terms of building your personal brand in one versus the other. Yeah, it's easy to say that young people are sort of device addicted to some degree, but we just got to learn to get out of the one or the other, either the device or the person. I mean, the face to face. So it's going to be a balance. It's going to be both. But I'm telling you, it's not going back to, you know, we used to be predominantly face to face, and virtual was kind of the add on. And that's just not going to be the case tomorrow. So we're going to have to be able to do both.
People are learning so much about personal brand online too, because it's become a catchphrase, a search term. It's become a cottage industry. You've seen all the people that are starting their career now. How do they sift through the tips and the tricksters and understand what's the best guidance for creating a brand, their own brand?
Boy, that's such a good question, Dave. And as you can imagine, having been on the forefront of personal brand for 20 years, frankly, from the beginning, this has sort of in some ways been overwhelming for the idea of personal brand. But here'd be my first rule, and this is going to state the obvious, but it's really important. Maybe there's a ranking of clickbait out there. If there is, personal brand is right near the top, you know, 10 or 20% of clickbait terms. So first thing I would say is just exercise a bunch of caution. If a headline has personal brand or personal branding in, be a little cautious about that, because there's more, as you suggested, tips and tricksters out there. The one thing we know is today there's more confusion about personal brand than ever. And the way I look at it is, geez, if I look online, personal branding has become almost everything, and I'm concerned that it's going to stand for nothing now. So here's what I would say. When it comes to looking online for advice, number one, consider the author. There's no question. Number two, understand there's no shortcuts. Number three, personal brand does not apply to everything in everyone's life. Personal brand is a set of principles and skills, and it's all about how you can do a better job of differentiating yourself with others so that you create value-added relationships. Number one, a lot of confusion, a lot of clickbait. Look at the author. Realize that their principles of personal brand building is not complicated. It's not complicated. There's no shortcut, and it's all about applying the principles consistently. So, frankly, I got to tell you, I mean, as you can imagine, I get a lot of notifications about personal brand and personal branding articles, and I peruse them. I mean, I do this every day. And I got to tell you, probably 90%+ of them are either retreads, or they're just sort of junk, or they're just clickbait. So I would say kind of avoid looking for the easy tips and go back to sources, references that clearly state the principles of personal brand and realize it's in the execution, not in the complexity.
Gotcha. So talking about more about the millennials, Gen Z, and maybe even Gen C now coming out of COVID, we're immersed in social media world. It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? I mean, it both helps and hinders development of a brand.
There's no question, Dave. And I don't know, is it a double-edged sword or worse than that? I mean, social media has taken the idea of personal brand and just taken it on a wild, zany ride, so to speak. For some people, social media is personal brand. Other people, personal brand is social media. Social media is nothing more than a tool. And frankly, it's not the most important tool in building a strong personal brand. In fact, it really is sort of it's a minor thing. It's just a small tactic. And one of my concerns about social media is that social media has its own ethos. It has its own rules. And to the extent that people think that social media is the way they build their personal brand, then I'm concerned that they're going to be enticed to fall prey to the failings of social media, i.e. the use of, or as an example, the use of hyperbole, the idea of stand out at all costs, or the idea in social media is all about standing out and it's lacking authenticity. So I think we've gotten so whacked out on people thinking social brands, personal brand. There's a quote I by Sheryl Sandberg, who is the COO of Facebook. And now here's a person that arguably in the last 10 years, it would be the one of the top 10 people who have been worked hard at building a strong personal brand. Some people know her for the book called entitled Lean In and other things. And she has certainly been a newsmaker. And really, she gets the idea of building a strong personal brand. So I say that because here's a, I'll just paraphrase a quote from her, a few pieces of a quote from her from something she wrote, which I think is just, it just sort of hits the point about how we're, social media has distorted to some degree personal brand and got people off on the wrong track. Here's what she says, a couple of pieces here. She says, if you think you are building your personal brand, please don't. Which I think is pretty friggin' amazing for someone who spends a lot of time and money doing that. And then she goes on to say, when we are packaged, we are ineffective and inauthentic. So she says, don't package yourself. Just speak and speak honestly with some data behind you. So the point is that she's saying that people are confused about what it means to build a strong personal brand. And it's, and they're sort of falling prey to whether people present themselves on social media, and they somehow think that if they can get the perfect packaging of themselves, that they are going to be a strong personal brand. And that's just not the case. So just as she suggests, it's about being authentic, and it's about demonstrating your authenticity in a way that makes a difference for others. So social media is has hijacked the idea of personal brand. And again, I'm not against social media. I mean, the truth of the matter is personal brand from a career development standpoint, we would still be so far back in its development if we didn't have something called LinkedIn as an example. But the rest of social media, I would say don't fall prey to the ethos of social media. Just know that it's a tool. And the extent to which you think you can demonstrate that you can make a difference for somebody else using the peculiarities of social media, well, then you do that. But don't, social media is the tail and not the dog. And I would say to some extent it's a sort of getting people, I would say that social media has done more to turn people off on personal brand than vice versa. So it's a role, but watch out because social media will own you and therefore will own your personal brand.
And that's yes, absolutely.
Tend to be careful.
Let me throw another question at you about strong versus weak personal brand, good versus bad personal brand. I've heard you say there is no good versus bad. Explain that.
So strong versus weak, good versus bad. This is a real interesting topic on personal brand, and it has for some time. And so let me create one distinction around strong and weak or good and bad. So the idea of good versus bad, personal brand is never meant to be a judgment, a tool to judgment whether people are good or bad. And because different brands can make a difference in different ways. The more important distinction is strong versus weak. And strong personal brands are those brands where people have a strong conviction to who they are, whoever they are. They have a strong conviction of who they are, and they apply themselves to make a difference in a consistent way. A weak personal brand is somebody who is all over the map. They lack distinctiveness in terms of their character. They are very inconsistent at applying themselves to make a difference. And frankly, they're inconsistent in their behaviors overall. So strong versus weak has all to do with commitment and making a difference. No such thing as good or bad. Now, I am in the midst of doing some research, coincidentally enough, on, because we have a lot of data as we help tens of thousands of people build their strong personal brand. The question is there a core of common characteristics that are associated with across all personal brands, as different as they may be? And I'm getting close to coming up with what I think is a common set. It's only a handful. So that doesn't mean everybody's the same, but it means that those people who are strong have a few qualities that I think are really in common or consistency. So strong versus weak is conviction versus lack of conviction, is knowing oneself versus not knowing oneself at all. It's applying oneself no matter what, as opposed to applying oneself when it makes only to their advantage. So that's strong versus weak. good versus bad. I wouldn't go good versus bad. I'd go strong versus weak.
I think that's important for people to start out when this whole concept is being presented to them, and they're hearing strong personal brand, and they instantly translate into, as our society does, good and bad. And
right.
I knew you had some insight on that, so thank you. Let's go back to a piece that you touched on earlier. I don't believe really people understand this in a way they should. So talk about why consistency is such a critical component of each person's brand.
Personal brand. Here's why. First of all, I would agree with you, Dave. People don't necessarily understand the importance of consistency, number one. Number two, they don't always understand the discipline of being consistent. And ultimately, the value of consistency, as I mentioned earlier, the point of consistency and the reason why consistency is one of the three important qualities of a strong brand is it's all about trust. It's all about trust. And I don't care if you're building a product brand, a company brand, or a personal brand. People will only trust you when you are consistent, because when you are consistent, it's a demonstration that you stand for something and that they know what will happen next. So, but people don't get that. And it's really hard, and it's a real discipline. So first of all, let me sort of go a little anecdote here, because I thought you'd ask this question. It's something that goes back some years. So there's a guy that some people who listen to this may have seen on TV. I think he's a pundit on CNN. His name is David Gergen. And David Gergen is a highly respected communications professional and has been brought into administrations, Democrat, Republican, for the better part of 30 or 40 years. This little story he told, this was in the New York Times Magazine a while ago. You know, his first job in the federal government was he was a speechwriter for Richard Nixon. In the Nixon White House, behind the chief of staff Bob Halderman, was really the first White House to, at least they claim, to have a discipline around the key message of the day. And so Halderman and others would decide what the key message was, and at every cabinet meeting in the morning they would say, "This is the key message." So when you give speeches and when you give talks, you reinforce this key message. So Gergen is a speechwriter, of course, was tuned into this. And so there was a point at which the key message was like repetitive over and over for days. And as a speechwriter, he was getting tired of it. So he goes to Bob Halderman and he says, "I am so sick and tired of writing about the same topic that I can throw up." And Bob Halderman says to him, "David, the first time you are sick of writing about something is the first time that it finally sunk into the public's mind." And that, to me, is sort of a dramatization of the importance of consistency. And so, so number one, I said people don't always appreciate consistency. It's the idea of being the discipline of being consistent. We don't always wake up every day with always having our best self. So it's sometimes our world, because of who we are, it sort of can challenge us to be consistent about something. In some cases, people think consistency is being boring, and it's not. Being consistent can be difficult because of situational instances. So different situations may make it harder for us to be consistent about something that we believe in. So I would just say consistency is overlooked. It takes a real discipline. It's harder to do than you think. And also keep in mind that the thing that you do most consistently is the thing that's going to stand out about you. And if you're not overly consistent about one or two things, then it will be very difficult for people to understand your personal brand or to believe in your personal brand. So I can say it this way. When you apply yourself in a consistent manner to make a difference, it becomes really clear in my mind. No one cares if you are different. They only value you because you make a difference consistently. So consistency is if distinctive relevance consistent. If I had to place a bet in terms of brand equity and brand strength, I always bet on consistency first, relevance second, distinctive third.
So you're looking at somebody who's starting off their career, and you know they're learning their way. Not everyone's consistent. There's a repetition to building that consistency in mathematics, though, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. I mean, it's so first of all, I go back to somebody's young, you know, you're just learning about who you are, and you're learning to apply yourself. And so it's not always easy to be consistent. And again, you're not always on your game. But being consistent is a certain competence. And so you have to learn really to apply yourself in a very consistent way. And I got to tell you, consistency takes time, patience, and intention. So when you're young, this is new because you're not necessarily, when you're younger, when you're in high school or maybe in parts of college, no one really cares if you're consistent. In fact, in some ways you want to be a little different all the time. You want to be a little more fun. But in the business world, we really want you to work on being consistent, because to be consistent means you have to believe in things. And we want to know what you believe in, and that you'll bring that belief to bear no matter what. So, and consistent sometimes can feel boring, and it's not boring at all. It's really a hallmark of your personal brand.
And what's the commitment, the hourly commitment? I was guiding you into that mathematic formula that you shared.
Oh yes, you are. Yeah. Thank you. To be consistent, you know, it's all about practice and practice with consistency of behavior. And so there's a couple of sort of numbers, if you will, that I would throw out there. Number one, consistency is about habits and developing good habits. If you haven't established a habit about something, or if you want to change or maybe reposition who you are, the habit, it takes about 3 weeks just to develop a habit in terms of behavior. But if you want to be known for something, I mean, if you want to be known as in terms of excellence around a particular behavior, excellence around an analytical skill, excellence around a certain type of behavior, excellence in any kind of endeavor, depending upon who you believe, takes anywhere from 10,000 to more hours of consistent demonstration to become excellent in that. So there is a math, and this math says, you start changing your behaviors, it takes 3 weeks just to kind of get you in line with that new behavior, and it can take you up to 10,000 hours so that you have the kind of consistency or the kind of unconscious competence. That is, you do stuff on command. You do stuff intuitively. So it takes work, and it takes belief.
And it's a commitment that I don't think too many young people understand. They think they can just turn it on. So that's why I wanted you to really jump into that, so that they're aware that it's not something that can be turned off and on.
No, it can't. And because it's a belief. And so, you know, it's absolutely important. And frankly, when you're building your career, you know, I would say the first 5 years are all about you learning how to demonstrate who you are consistently. And that will truly differentiate you. You know, Dave, you've asked me a number of things about young people and personal brand, and I certainly have done work with young people, but not like you. I mean, you have done a lot of work helping young people apply the concepts of personal brand to get themselves ready to be a strong personal brand as they launch their career. I know, because you and I have worked together. You've done all the hard work, but for 5 years at Temple University, you've taught semester after semester many, many, many students. You've taught them the principles of personal brand. You've given them tools. You've coached them. You've gotten them ready. And for many, it was sort of the last part of their college career, getting them ready for their career. Now, when students walk into that classroom at the beginning of each semester, what would you say that they understand or grasp about personal branding? You know, they come into a class. They obviously took the class for a certain reason. But frankly, I'm sure most of them don't really know that much of a personal brand, and after all, you are a professor, so they're there to learn from you. And so what's their grasp or understanding of personal brand when they first walk in?
It's a really fascinating experience for me to find that out. In general, over 5 years, I'm looking at them, and they come in and they think personal brand is about personal promotion, celebrity is, uh-huh. as celebrities do online. So they associate it with that. The other thing is, particularly in the group of students that are in the advertising marketing space, they know branding and they want to know, how do I apply it personally? So they're learning branding, they're understanding how to advertise, they know all about social media, and they're wondering, how does the personal component work into this? What do I need to know? And the third thing is they believe, oh, somebody told me this is important. I heard this is important. Uh-huh. I need to learn about this. And then the fourth minor group says, I heard I'm getting easy A out of this course. So those are the three, the personal promotion, celebrity aspect of it, the company branding aspect of it, and how do I apply it personally? And the third is they know it's important, or they understand it to be important, and they want to learn why and how.
Interesting. Now, Dave, I know you well enough to know that you're not a pushover as a professor. So if they think they're getting an easy A, well, they got something else.
Right.
I'm sure they've all found that to be different. So find that, you know, that's very interesting. And by the way, not uncommon to when I introduce the concept to adults. They're like, well, isn't this about social media? Isn't it about celebrity? Isn't it about being somebody I don't really believe who I am? So interesting, the similarity. And I know you've taken through, is it 10 weeks? Is that it?
Close to, yeah, a little bit more, about 13, 14 weeks.
So 13 or 14 weeks of a course of teaching them how to build a strong personal brand. And I know that you help them apply the concepts so that they are ready to build a strong or demonstrate a personal brand when they leave. So just generally, what kind of process and milestones do you set out in that 13 or 14 weeks in terms of your curriculum and helping people?
It's really a migration based on self-discovery. And the first thing is understanding who they are. You know, it's such a transformative time in kids' lives. Such a transform. They're going from 16 to 23. Let's play it like that. From having pimples and not being able to drive to graduating high school, getting into a college, picking a major, graduating, getting a job and being on their own, and then paying for college. 6 years. Unbelievable transformation during that time. So first and foremost, it's self-discovery. They have to understand who they are. We walk them through the core values exercise that you created, how to build a brand platform. We really get them to understand the power of perceptions. And the most remarkable aspect of each semester is having them do their perceptions survey, in which they have to get 25 to 50 people to anonymously reply to a survey asking people to list 3 to 5 perceptions of how that, what they feel about that person at that point in their life. So that's really an eye opener for students and young adults to get that kind of feedback. And then the fourth part of it is really understanding the value of relationships in their lives. Over 75% of jobs now come from recommendation, referral, or relationship. So the first day they walk in, I tell them, you guys aren't in college students. You're not getting in the marketing business. You're going into the business of building relationships, because that's the key to your future. And the key in the future of not using relationships, but creating genuine relationships. The rest of the semester is focused on how they apply those four pieces to creating tools, the LinkedIn profiles, the social media profiles, how they volunteer, how they can learn to be parts of communities, how they can be networkers and influencers themselves, no matter what age they are, how to interview properly, how to present themselves genuinely and authentically. So it's, you walk in, I see in the beginning of the semester, they walk into the class, first 2-3 weeks, they've got shades pulled over their eyes. And by the end of the semester, I'd say 90% of them walk out with a really deep understanding of who they are, what they stand for, and how they can present themselves in a way that feels good and projects them in the right manner.
Interesting. You know, Dave, I know that you've taken the time to work with these students over 13, 14 classes. It's a long ride. It's a long haul. But I've also read through time testimonials that have come out of your classes, and that you do a good job and people really, really appreciate that. And so in that way, I know you're very successful. I also know, again, based on my personal experience more with adults, that frankly, there are certain barriers or misunderstandings that people, adults or students, are going to put up during the process. And that's not to say that they don't believe any of us. They're just like, this personal brand idea is new for frankly, it's new for almost everybody. And so as a result, when it comes to learning, there can be maybe a little pushback, some barriers, maybe even some misbelief. Do you find that with students? Because I find that with adults.
Probably more so with the student population, because they, you know, they walk in, again, as I said, about as recently graduated high schoolers who are just finding their way and on their own for the first time. So there's their own inherent shyness or insecurities, but there's probably, you know, three areas in which they put up barriers. And number one is understanding their value and being able to communicate their values as humans. And I keep trying to share with them, you know, you're not being hired for an internship or an entry-level job because of your expertise. You're being hired because you can build relationships, that you're personable, and because you appear to be coachable and intelligent. I'd take somebody who has a 2.5 GPA versus somebody who has a 3.7 GPA. If the person with 2.5 can sit across me, have a conversation with me, and then be ready to learn. So it's they don't understand how to talk about their value in being coachable or being a team player or being willing to do what it takes for the team to build their career and learn from others. I'd say another barrier is about meeting people. It's networking. They just don't believe that they can overcome their shyness or insecurity. The insecurity revolves around, why would an adult or why would a CEO or why would somebody want to talk to me? They just don't believe that they can hold an adult conversation. And one of the things that it's a cornerstone of what I share, and particularly the people who come in who are guest lecturers, is that they were all in your space. They were all sitting in your shoes. They were all experiencing the same doubts and insecurities that you have, and they're here to help you. Right. They're here to listen to you. They want to help people. People generally want to help people, and they have a hard time understanding that somebody would you know, take time out of their busy day as a professional to talk to a college student and answer a few questions. So those are two of the biggest barriers: the understanding the value, and then networking and willingness to strike up conversations with people. It's just amazing to watch that. Those are the hurdles that we constantly preach about.
Well, that's very interesting, and certainly makes a lot of sense. You know, I think one of the things that I would add to that, just as an outsider, is that, yeah, young people, so they do question their value. There's two things: they question their value. It's like, you got to remember, they're just being compared to their peers. They're not being compared to somebody who's already got a job or those sorts of things. So they should realize there's a fair comparison that goes on. The other thing is, just reiterate to people, be who you are. Your future employer wants to know, do you have a sense of who you are? And are you willing to bring that person every day, as opposed to the insecurity of who should I be? So yes, That's interesting. So I know you and I have talked a little bit about, in your course, you have this idea, you talk about the experience of you, and that's a part of your curriculum framework. So I know when you talk about that, and you and I haven't had a chance to talk much about that, but I know it's an integral part. What do you mean when you talk about the experience of you?
It really is the core of personal brand, because if you are trying to make a difference for others, then the experience that you deliver is based around that. So some of the tutorials that you shared about the fundamentals of personal brand, you always include the Jeff Bezos quote in your introduction: a personal brand is what they say about you after you have left the room. And I absolutely love that. I keep coming back to it. I make the students sit there and marinate in that. What do you want people to say about you when you leave a room? Any room, your fraternity or sorority room, your commute, your church. What do you want people to say about you? Forget about the obvious, which is an interview. What do you want people to think about you? So the personal brand assessment survey that reveals how people are already perceived as, invaluable in opening their eyes, lifting the blinders, the shades off their eyelids, so to speak. But the second thing is what do you want that experience of you to be? What do you want people to have? Do you want to be the person who always makes them feel good? Do you want to be the person that people always feel they can count on? Do you want to be the person that just brings a smile to somebody's face? So there is this experience of you that you can create for others that will help you personally and professionally down the line, because people will be willing to say, hey, Carl, that Carl is just a wonderful person. Just makes me feel good being around them. Or that person is always there for me. And, I know I can always count on them. So when young students are moving into their career, moving on from college, they really should think about the experience that they deliver in any situation. If they're going to a networking event, what are the two or three things they want people to think about them when they left? We know that's one of the things they should be mapping out when they're going into an interview, what they're going to leave with. But let's look at for a second the equivalent of a corporate brand. Disney delivers the ultimate experience. Everything is designed to make people feel great and to give them a one-of-a-kind experience. We can do this as humans. And I know we struggle on a day-to-day basis, but I'll walk into class someday and I'll feel down, or I'm on top of my game. But I know that I want to deliver a meaningful hour and a half to these guys and girls, so that, because it's about them. It's about helping them understand their value, helping them get comfortable with themselves, helping them exceed and shine. So creating that experience is so critical. And going back to what you said, and consistency is at the fulcrum of that experience of you.
Boy, that makes a lot of sense. I can just add to that this idea of people, of you emphasizing, be prepared and work hard at leaving certain kind of perceptions or impressions. And people, for some people, that is a bit foreign. I know when I talk to adults, frankly, it's the same thing. It's when I ask them what perception they plan to leave, they're like, geez, I hadn't thought about that other than I want to leave a good impression. And I find that sometimes people spend more energy worrying about what people think of them, and they could spend the same amount of energy being proactive and trying to manage how people perceive them, or doing the best that they can. But there's just this, and I think it gets in their way. They go to a meeting or to a party or something, and they just are so worried about it. And if they just turn that energy into a positive energy, because you can do a lot to shape how people perceive you, particularly if you're willing to be consistent, and particularly if you're willing to make a difference. So I find that interesting, not just as young people, but adults as well.
And that makes me think of, just said people over worry. And I use this quote in class. I don't know who wrote it, but I let people soak this one in too, Carl. Worry is the thief of joy.
That's great. Isn't that so true? I always add, it's the thief of joy. And it also, it eats up unnecessary energy we could be using for the positive. So that, it's a really good, would love that quote. Now, I know we just talked about some of the challenges and some of the barriers, but I also know you have a lot of successes. You must see from time and again some aha moments during this 13 or 14 week semester. And that's real learning, aha. Could you share a couple of those aha moments that you can recall?
There are certainly every semester some wonderful aha moments. Let me tell you about a couple of these, because it's all about just opening your mouth and building relationships and being willing to do that. Gentleman in my class last semester works at a great restaurant in Rittenhouse Square in the heart of Philadelphia. And he's a food delivery person. He's a food delivery person. And he talked about one day after the class about building relationships, opening your mouth, saying hello, being unafraid. And then he saw a woman, a professional, who was eating at the bar one night at this restaurant. And he decides, I'm going to just say hello, see how her day is. And he noticed that she was reading something and by herself, and just figured she might be in from out of town. So normally he wouldn't say anything. This time he did. And he just asked her the simple question, how are you doing tonight? Are you visiting Philadelphia? Do you live here? Over the course of the dinner service, they started a great conversation. Turns out that she was a head VP at a technology company in Austin, Texas. Caesar's graduating this semester, and she says to him by the end of the dinner, here's my card. Call me when you've graduated. I'll have an interview lined up for you in Austin, Texas. All he did was say hello and deliver food.
Wonderful. That's great.
So he's graduating shortly, and I'm going to find out. He's kept in touch with her, and I wish him the best of luck, but he just said hello. Another really great one was, there was a student a couple of semesters ago who wants to be a musician, wants to be a producer. Great guy, coming back from his job in Philly, taking a Lyft ride home to Temple. And again, stress the importance of just saying hello to somebody with his Lyft driver. And he finally said, you know, is Lyft driving all you do? Tell me a little bit about yourself. And the guy turns out to be a music producer who owns a studio. And by the end of the conversation, he invites the student in to record for free. All he did was say hello. Another guy seemed like he was angry every class. And not angry per se, that outwardly frustrated, but just not sharing of himself, didn't smile at all. One day he smiled and I said, you know, what an amazing smile you've got. Why don't you just use that more often? So I'm going to fast forward to 2 years later, and I looked at a post that he shared in LinkedIn. He had a top PR job at Tierney here in Philadelphia, great communications agency. He had been selected to play a leadership role, July 4th Music Festival that's held annually in Philadelphia on the Parkway. And the picture has him standing next to the gentleman who brought him on. He's got a smile that could go from ear to ear. I sent him a note through LinkedIn and I just said, congratulations, you know, looks like you're doing phenomenal. And he said, all I needed to do was to learn how to smile again.
Nice.
So I just love that. I just love that. And they'll, you know, periodically they reach back out and they'll say things like, you know, I got this job. I did what you said during an interview, or I followed up in a way, you know, that you suggested. And that's always fun, but it's not about me. It's about them. They have the tools. They just need to be taught the principles of personal branding and how to create the positive experience, the positive impression, and be the best that they can be. It's all there. You know, they're morphing from high school to young professionals, and they're wonderful people. They just have to apply what they learn.
Yeah, great. And to reach out, right? And to value their personal brand, to say, if I make an interaction, I probably can make a difference, however small or large. So it's great to hear these stories about how people ultimately believe in their personal brand, and the more you believe in it, the stronger it becomes.
And that even leads me to you and I potentially doing another podcast interviewing students, you know, from your area and my area, and getting their impressions on what it's like to go through the process and right. Have the aha moments and how they're creating their ultimate experiences.
You bet.
Let's also talk about entrepreneurialism, because as I was thinking back through this, one of the kids came in one year and said, you know, I don't want to be in a corporation. So it seems like you guys keep talking about personal brand as it relates to corporate brands and company jobs, and I want to strike out on my own. I don't want to work for anybody else. So I told him it's even more relevant, but I want to hear that from you. How does personal brand work for entrepreneurs?
You could argue that personal brand is more important for entrepreneurs than other people. And why is that? Because as an entrepreneur, to be successful, you're always selling an idea, you're selling yourself, whether it's you're selling a business plan, trying to get financing or what have you. And so often when it's an entrepreneur, it's about a new business, a new idea. Those ideas are much more likely to be accepted based upon how people respect you and what they perceive about your personal brand. And so it's the brand behind the idea. It's the brand behind the business plan. And so there's no question in my mind that personal brand building is as important, and one could argue maybe more important, or you have to do a better job of building a strong personal brand if you're an entrepreneur. So it's not just about corporate, getting a job in a big corporation. It's really learning to be respected for who you are and the difference that you make. And again, people are always looking to you to understand who you are because they want to know if the relationship is worth it, if they can trust you, and what value you can create. And that frankly applies as to whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you work in a small company or a large company, or frankly, it matters in everyday life. So yeah, building a strong personal brand really has, there's no limits to the application. Because I just want, I want to emphasize one thing, that personal brand building is not about how do you position yourself to get a job, or how do I get the next promotion? Personal brand building is a really powerful framework for your personal development. It keeps you focused on who you are and how you can make a difference. And so this is, so personal brand is a lot more, is infinitely more about self-development than it is about self-promotion. And I will just tell you this, that the people who I admire, who have strong personal brands, they are successful in almost every aspect, if not every aspect, of their life, because a commitment to building a strong personal brand is a commitment to personal development. You know, I talked, I mentioned earlier that I'm doing some research about some of the, you know, are there core qualities of personal brands? I can tell you one right off the bat that I know of, because I've seen it across the board. And that is, it's a commitment to excellence. That is to always being a better person than you are today. It's always about being a better you. And so in that sense, personal brand applies. But it's about, think about personal brand building. It's not promotion, but it's about, again, about a discipline, about how you can become a better you, whoever you are and whoever you want to be. It's just being a better you. So yeah, so entrepreneurs everywhere, but it's really a broader framework than that.
A better you across the board, Carl. I can't think of anything else that we could possibly talk about that says it any better than what you just said. So,
all right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Great conversation. Again, as usual, we are going to continue this series. I can't thank you enough, Carl Speak. It's been great having you on. We'll talk shortly so we can talk about another great conversation that we can schedule.
So Dave, you're welcome. And I do enjoy these conversations. It does give me a chance to sort of talk about things I like to talk a lot about. And again, back to the top of this, this COVID world is going to come and go, but our personal brands endure. And I hope all of us can learn, can be reflective enough to learn something about ourselves, because these unusual times give us certain opportunities and certain perspectives to look inside and see how strong our personal brand can really become.
Yes, very great.
All right.
Thank you, Carl.
All right. You're welcome. Talk to you soon, Dave.
All right. Take care. Thanks for listening, and I hope you got something out of today's show that you can apply to your life. Our journey is about becoming the best possible person we can be so we can live and enjoy the lives we want. I welcome your comments and reviews, and I'd love to learn more about you. What is the experience of you? What would you like it to be? And please share stories about the remarkable people in your life who deliver an ultimate experience and make a difference for others. This is the experience of you. Until next time, I'm Dave Thompson. Take care.